Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom is a chartered financial consultant and accredited estate planner and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. He's got over 27 years of financial counseling and coaching experience. He's here for you today. Tom is also a Crown Ministries budget coach and is a business and church consultant as well. Love to hear from you on the website, theeconomyofgod.com. Also, give us a ring at 800-386-3700. Here he is, our host, Tom Meglia. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I just want to tell the listeners again just what God's economy is and why and how it changed my life. You know, 20 years ago, Reba, 25 years ago, actually, when I was being trained by Larry Burkett, who's passed away, he's in heaven now, but he founded Christian Financial Concepts. And I had gone into the investment world and financial planning world in the secular markets. And God's economy changed my career and changed my life. And the way it did is through Larry's teaching and training and mentoring towards me about just what the Bible says about God's thinking and God's written word when it comes to finances and business economics. So that changed my thinking, changed my life. You know, Reba, there's over 2,300 verses in the Bible that pertain to God's economy.
Wow.
Money, finances, everything God says and thinks from Genesis through Revelation about his plan for the way we should live regarding financial things. 2,300 verses, more than any other topic in the Bible, more than heaven, hell, anything.
And yet so many Christians still have not incorporated that into their economic world.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to do. Through the book, through the program. Mm-hmm. The book will be here in a couple of weeks for sure. I checked on it yesterday. I'm excited. And in God's economy, Reba, as you know, we have a four-part recipe to investigating and understanding God's economy. And that four-part recipe is, number one, we identify the given scripture. Number two, we state the economic principles from that particular scripture with cross-references. Number three, we learn to apply and live that economic principle to our normal and everyday lives. And the fourth part of the recipe is the prayer of change, asking God in his power and love and strength to change us towards obedience.
You know, I was thinking the other day, Tom, so many people today want a microwave type of society where they just push a button and it's done. But In days gone by, people used recipes all the time.
Absolutely. That's why I call it recipes.
Exactly. Exactly. In a four-part recipe, that's something that we can all do.
Absolutely. My wife says, oh, you just use recipe because you're such a food person. And I said, well, that's part of it. But I wanted to put it in a word picture and an illustration, Reba, because it is the recipe. It's God's recipe for teaching us. And what I'd like you to do now is remind us, Reba, about 2 Timothy 3:16-17, because you know, I still haven't really memorized it. I know that scripture, Reba. We've only said it like 50 times.
Yeah, we say it all the time.
On the 80th time, I'm going to try to repeat it without reading it, okay? So go ahead.
Here it is. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Wow. Now, Reba, what do you think of that verse?
You know, every time I hear that, it just reminds me that this is our guide.
Right.
This is where we go to. This is the final authority, the Word of God. It's for all of us.
Exactly.
None of us are so grown up or are so successful that we cannot be rebuked and taught through the Word of God.
Absolutely. Perfectly put. I agree 100% with what you just said. All Scripture is God-breathed, meaning God thought of it. God created that. God said it. No financial expert on earth can compete with what God says or out-trump what God says, out-do, out-think, or any of that stuff that I'm trying to say. God is God, and what he says goes over everything we all say. And I love that, Reba. That is so great. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Now, Reba, would you remind all of our listeners about the four anchors of God's economy?
That's right. The four anchors. One, the first one, is that God is the creator of everything. The second one is that we're the stewards, not the creators.
Right.
The third one is that we should be cheerful givers And the fourth one is to have contentment.
Exactly. Those are tough things in real life.
Yes.
A lot of people say, Tom, I love what you say, but transferring it to living mm-hmm. and yesterday and today and tomorrow is a completely different story.
And it's something that most financial counselors aren't looking at.
No,
they're not looking at it as a stewardship. They're not trying to make you content or help you be a cheerful giver.
Well, Reba, one of the reasons that they don't is because it goes against most American philosophies, for one.
Hmm.
I mean, to be content with a place to lay your head and something to wear and something to eat, but not the best stuff to wear or lay your head in or the place to live or thing to drive, that goes against most American philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
But see, God's economy isn't just for Americans. It was meant for anyone on earth, no matter what their race, individual, married, any status of any kind. It was meant for everyone.
Yes.
Not just for Americans mm-hmm. or Russians or whomever. It's for all people that love God and love him and are Christians and call themselves children of God.
Anyone who would hear his voice.
Absolutely. Anyone who would hear his voice, Reba, and mm-hmm. respond.
Yeah.
And respond. That's important. That's why God is the creator, owner. We're the steward. We're to be cheerful givers and live with contentment. That is not easy to do. It's very difficult for all people to do it.
But they do go in succession, too.
They do, Reba.
Once you realize God is the creator, then you realize you're the steward.
Right.
Once you realize you're stewarding God's creation, it helps you give. And when you begin a lifestyle of giving and stewardship, you find contentment.
You are great. I'm done. I'm going to lunch. I'm going to lunch. You got it. Now, Reba, would you read today's verse lesson, please?
The wicked borrow and do not repay. The righteous give generously.
Psalm 37:21. That's right. The wicked borrow and do not repay. The righteous give generously.
You know, that word is like a sword. It cuts when some people hear it, but it helps when other people hear it.
Exactly. Oh, you're right. You're right.
It's like a double-edged sword.
Well put. Because some people, they're like, oh, I hate that. I don't like hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
That just convicted me.
Yes.
I think I'll turn the channel.
Don't go anywhere.
Don't turn it yet. Please don't
turn
it yet.
There's help on the way.
Yeah, please don't turn it yet. We don't want that to happen. Now, I will go ahead and share some economic principles, Reba, from Psalm 37:21. And what I'd like you to do is add your comments because you're like on target. So
I'm just the average layperson, you know? I'm just like trying to break it down for the real people.
Oh,
you know?
I love it. I love it. Okay. Economic principle number one, Reba, those that borrow and have no intent to repay are stealing.
Mm.
Stealing is a sin. One of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 says, thou shalt not steal.
Even if they send you a card with a, you know, $10,000 credit limit and you don't have $10,000 and you don't plan on having an extra $10,000. But if you spend that, that would be stealing?
Yeah, because if you knew that you never could repay something and you knew in your mind, even though they sent it to you, their thought and the agreement you'll sign to get that credit card or credit limit is to repay them. That's what you signed on a contract or agreement. And if you knew in your mind you never really could repay them
mm-hmm.
and you knew they were making a mistake by loaning you money or this credit line or credit card, that is a sin. And that's the wicked Psalm 37:21 talks about. The wicked borrow and do not repay.
Mm-hmm.
They don't repay because they have no desire or intent to repay. That's stealing. And that is a sin with consequences. There will be no blessing. There will be consequences. Remember I talked about the PE coach when I was in junior high that said, Meglia, take another lap?
Yeah.
I said, why, coach? Because you didn't get it right.
Didn't get it the first time.
Right. And so I kept on taking laps. And to this day, I'm still taking laps. I'm still taking laps.
We're always learning.
It's like, oh, Lord, not another lap.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my PE coach, but Almighty God, another lap.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Come on, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
You're a work in progress. Take your lap. Now learn. Come on. Learn. Remember, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, training, rebuking, and righteousness. So we got to learn. It's like exercising. So, yes, Reba. So those that borrow and have no intent to repay are stealing. Number two, when the lack of repaying is to someone the person knows, especially a relative or friend, the relationship is never the same. It's always damaged. It's always affected from that point forward. Mm-hmm. When it's to someone that you borrowed from that you knew, like a friend, relative, neighbor, and you didn't repay. That relationship is very, very much affected in a negative way.
And even if you don't see it being affected, you have to know that the other person is dealing with it.
Oh, yes.
Because a lot of times we have people around us that are very mature or that know how to handle things. And if you don't repay them back, they may never show you that they're hurt,
right,
or that they have animosity. But it's under there. It's in there.
Well, let me ask a listener listening right now. Have you ever been involved in that kind of relationship where it says, you know, to repay, but you knew you didn't repay, they knew you, and that relationship wasn't affected?
You know what, Tom? We're going to get back to that question right after the break. We'd love to hear from you. 800-386-3700. Visit us online, theeconomyofgod.com. We've got resources on there that are going to help you know the economy of God. Check out the Job Experience, also available online. We'll be right back, Knowing the Economy of God.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share Knowing the Economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Welcome back to Knowing the Economy of God with your host Tom Meglia and myself, Reba Tony. Our phone number to call us, 800-386-3700. You can visit us online at theeconomyofgod.com. We were just talking about some economic principles. First, I want to read Proverbs 3, 27 and 28.
Yes.
This goes along with Psalms 37:21 that
yes.
we had just read. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due. When it is in your power to do it, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you.
Right. And that means, Reba, to try to repay, especially if you have it, repay promptly and swiftly, not delaying, not holding something over someone's head, not lording it over them, not playing games. Repay and repay swiftly is what that proverb says.
Yeah.
That's our cross-reference verse for Psalm 37.
Well, you know, Tom, it makes perfect sense because this life is about those two most important commandments that Jesus was talking about. Love God and love your neighbor.
That's one reason to do it. That's one way to do it, I should
say.
Yeah,
because we've got to love them more than we love ourselves.
Exactly. Put them ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And by not doing what we're talking about today is a form of non-love or
loving yourself more
right.
than them.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm not good with words, Reva. Anyway, number three, economic principle. Back to number three. You're better at words than I am. Bankruptcy is discouraged for the Christian, but it's not always a sin. There are extenuating circumstances. The key is your motive. You know, when a Christian files bankruptcy, it may or may not be a sin. It depends what the motivation is. And it could be due to illness or disability, job loss. There are other extenuating circumstances.
Kind of like divorce.
Yes. Yes.
Nobody wants anybody to be divorced.
Right.
It's highly discouraged, but it's not always a sin if you have to do it.
Exactly. Okay. You just have to know the circumstances mm-hmm. and the motivation in one's heart. Mm-hmm. Number four, in God's economy, poverty is much better than dishonesty.
Wow.
God would rather you be poor and impoverished mm-hmm. than dishonest.
Not that God wants us to be poor.
Right.
But if you've got to choose between being poor or being dishonest.
Be poor.
Be poor.
In his hierarchy.
That makes so much sense.
Number five, if you borrow, try to repay. Even if the creditor is some big and bad distant company that doesn't need the money, you think.
Wow.
Oh, they don't need the money, Reba. Mm-hmm. That's American Express. MasterCard, mm-hmm. Capital One, they don't need the money, that big company. They won't miss my little money.
They'll write it off.
They'll write it off. No. In God's economy, try to repay. Make the attempt, a good faith, honest attempt. It's a witness. Number six, don't break contact if you're having trouble repaying. Don't say to your neighbor, your relative, a big company, well, I'm just not going to do anything. I'll avoid you.
Mm-hmm. Tell your secretary not to take those calls.
Right. Yeah. Avoidance. Mm-hmm. Avoidance is wrong in God's economy. That's breaking contact. You have a relationship with this creditor, whomever it is, mother-in-law, credit card company, whomever. You need to communicate with them. You owe them the communication.
It's the least you could do.
It's the least you could do. Number seven, keep your vow, your promise. Your integrity is at stake. It honors God to repay. And it does tell people about your witness.
We live in such a fragmented society. We just don't have the community and the accountability that we used to have.
Right.
And we feel like we can do these things and nobody's going to know and it's not really going to reflect on our character. But it does.
Exactly, Reba. Beautifully put. It does reflect on our character. And our character is important to God. Very important, our character.
And it's important to our self-esteem, the way we view ourselves.
Absolutely. Gosh, absolutely. Number eight, chapter 13 of the bankruptcy code is to reorganize. Sometimes creating a plan, Reba, to pay back through a reorganization, like a bankruptcy chapter 13, is workable. It just kind of solves things for now, gets you on a budget, a repayment plan, mm-hmm. reorganization.
Mm-hmm. If your payments are really too much,
yeah.
you can reorganize those,
yeah.
restructure those. Or if you own a business and there's some different accounts that you need to restructure, that's okay.
Exactly, because the intent is what?
To repay.
Borrowing, number nine. Borrowing is not a sin. The Bible concludes it's not a sin, although it is discouraged. Because of the relationship, it puts so much pressure on people, and they get overdrawn and overwhelmed, and that affects relationships.
That is almost entirely the sole way we operate in America now is through borrowing.
Absolutely, and that's not a good thing. The U.S. government is in huge debt right now, Reba.
Yeah, I didn't even think
Trillions.
About the government.
Trillions.
Yes, we as individuals and our government operate that way.
Absolutely. Number 10, don't be in a hurry to borrow. Watch your impulses. So often, the reason people got into debt was impulse. They wanted it, they saw it, they bought it.
But they needed it.
Well, they thought they did, but they didn't.
It always seems like that we need it at that moment.
It seems.
But I need to take them out to dinner because they're in town just for this one weekend.
That's the impulse. What will they think if I don't?
I should pay because...
What will they think if I don't? What will they think of me? How will they perceive me?
What about just making a meal at home?
Exactly.
Come over for dinner.
The impulses. Now, as we transition, Reba, to application, here's a major one for application, okay, to your normal life. If you're single, don't date or marry someone who is flaky, sinful, and unwilling to pay back what they owe. If you're single... It's an important item when you evaluate someone's character. So if you're dating someone, let's say I'm talking to a listener right now, let's say a guy, and he's dating a girl, and she's flaky, she doesn't want to pay back what she's borrowed, she's terrible at finances, not meaning unskilled. There's a difference between being unskilled, Reba, and just not wanting to pay back. Mm-hmm. That's part of that person's character. God is concerned about that character. So think about what that person will be like after the wedding. How one handles money is a warning before the marriage begins.
Think about how much they're going to run up that wedding tab.
Oh, yeah. And after.
Yeah.
And that should enlighten you when you're dating someone. You've got to think about that as one of the things that you understand a partner or someone you're dating. Okay. So if you're single and you're dating someone like this or engaged, that's a big red flag before the marriage.
It really is.
Yeah, I've seen people. I asked them, did you know this before you married this person? Yes, but I married him anyway. So you've got to
be
careful.
Give them some time. Maybe if you slow things down a little bit and let them know how important that is, they can find ways to adjust how they've been operating.
Exactly, Reba. Well put. But singles, be careful whom you're dating and become someone more responsible. So when someone's evaluating you as a marriage partner, you're more credible with higher character in the area of finances and God's economy. Mm-hmm. That makes sense, too. You're more attractive.
Right. Get yourself where you would like somebody else to be.
Exactly. Your credit score is affected by the willingness to pay back and the timing of repaying loans and debts. Chapter 7 can be a credit killer. So we need to understand how our credit scores work. And to understand that, we should get help, advice, and counsel. So go to Crown's website. You'll find me, crown.org. Or call me up on the phone. We'll make a time. Go to CCCS, Consumer Credit Counseling Service. Reba, there's people and services that will help people to get a handle on this.
And the bottom line is, if you don't think you will have the money to pay it back, don't take the loan.
In the first place.
That's so hard for us to get, isn't
it? It is.
But I'll be making more money in 3 years. Well, everything else is going to be more expensive in 3 years, too.
Exactly. And that's well put. Good advice. We need to sacrifice, Reba, wants, pleasures, and desires when examining our spending. We need to be frugal and to get on a debt repayment plan.
Yeah.
And we need to get on a budget, too. And if a Christian is lending to a believer, let it go if that person can't pay you back. The Bible says to let it go. Release it. Let it go. No lawsuits. Don't sue another Christian. Release it. Let it go. If you lent to some believer and they cannot repay you. These are all scriptural grounds, Reba. They're all laid out in my new book on how to live. And that's what we need to be doing. So, okay, finally, how did this happen in the first place, Reba? We need to examine how and why this happened. What can be done so that this does not happen again? What was your part? Introspection. Look within. Look inside. Pray about it. Why did this happen? This mess, this debt mess. I call it DSI, debt scene investigation. You've heard of CSI.
The next top primetime television.
Yeah, there you go. You've heard of CSI. This is DSI.
DSI.
Debt scene investigation. We need to retrace our steps and find out why and how these things happen and how they will not happen again. So, Reba, there you go. How about the prayer of change?
Whew, let's get into that prayer of change. I just am feeling in my spirit right now that so much of this revolves around pride and us feeding our ego of what we want, how we want other people to view us.
Right. That's key. That is so important. We've got to go back and find out how and why did this happen?
Yeah, how did it happen?
And how can we prevent it from happening again? Lord, thank you for this day. Father God, you are holy. You are Lord. Your scripture is King. Thank you, God, for your help. Give us wisdom and strength, Lord. Empower us to change according to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, your economy, Lord. Amen.
Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. Call 800-386-3700. Tell us your story, what's going on with you. Tom would love to speak with you. If you've got a small business, a large business, if you're out there, you're coming into an inheritance, you've got some money, you want to make sure you're a good steward of it, please give Tom a call at 800-386-3700. This is a man who is seeking out God's economy. Thank you for listening to Knowing the Economy of God with Tom Megley on 99.5 KKLA.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.